Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. History is full of stories in which people are repressed, kept from expressing themselves freely. In the Soviet-era Eastern Bloc, people sometimes were able to get their message out subversively through a seemingly innocuous form like folk songs. The slave-era American South had its own examples. Slaves were forbidden to read, write, and had no legal or civil rights. In order to preserve their culture, they had to find a way to create objects steeped in ancient traditions while hiding them in plain sight. Some suspect that's the case with face jugs. They're ceramic vessels in the form of faces made by slaves in Edgefield, South Carolina during the 1800s. But little is known for certain about the jugs. Some believe they were used to carry water. Others believe they were used to carry hidden messages and used as a mean to forecast or aid in the downfall of slave masters. Material culture contributor Jennifer Fields went in search of some answers to the significance of face jugs. She met up with Michelle Bain, a master potter who lives in Lincolnton, North Carolina. He was recently at the Milwaukee Art Museum giving a demonstration on how to create face jugs.
Thank y'all for coming. I'm going to be demonstrating some Edgefield-style face jugs. So we're going to start by making a jug.
Well, I'm getting my ball of clay ready to be turned into a jug, a vessel. And I'm thinking about the form I'm going to be making, which is a very small Edgefield face vessel. Well, in making an Edgefield face jug, it has particular eyes and particular teeth. It's a very primitive expression. I usually put the nose on first. Then I'll put the porcelain eyes on the piece and then the teeth. Well, I think the magic part for me is when applying the face on there. That's when it gets to be. This is kind of the work part of it here on the wheel. And then the really, I think, more fun part. And I guess also really, too, I think the most more artistic part is when I'm applying the face on the vessel. You know, there's attributes of the Edgefield face jug that I maintain. But they could have bulging eyes, just like you see on some of the old Edgefield face jugs, or the eyes could be sunken in a little bit. Face jugs are just like people. They're all different. So, and that's the way I enjoy making them. Kind of keeps things alive around my shop to make them intentionally be different. And I think they're always going to be different. I could never make two that look the same. I have customers at times wanting me, they've seen a face jug of mine, and they want me to make one just like it. And I always write them back and tell them that, well, I could make a sibling, but I couldn't make one exactly like that one. At this point right here, I think they really are. They're talking to me big time. After I get the nose and the lips and the eyes on there, they really are speaking to me. It's almost vibrating that, and it has like its own little spirit. It's coming to life almost. It's talking to me about the history and the way the potters who made these pieces, and hopefully, and I think it really does, I feel so close to them, the potters who made these vessels when I'm doing this, because I know that they had to be touching the clay just like I'm touching the clay and forming the eyelids very similar to the way I'm doing this. And it's a very, very spiritual thing to feel a part of that and a part of them, really. I really feel that way. I really feel that they're working through me to perpetuate the story of their past and their legacy. I don't ever feel like I'm, just because I'm not an African American, that I don't feel a part of them. I always try to, through my work and what I do, I've tried to help tell their story. Well, I believe it takes me back. It takes me back in history, because this is the way these pieces were made, and I feel as though I'm really closer to those early craftspeople who made these pieces. So in a way, it's like a time travel. When they get to really talking pretty loudly to me, then I always listen and hang on to those pieces. I do have my own collection. Collect some of my own work and collect a lot of other potters' pieces also. It's always great going to a pottery show and looking around, and there's inevitably always some piece that'll speak to you and say, hey, I'm right here. I touch you in some way that you want to give it a nice home. Take it home with you.
Lake Effect's material culture contributor Jennifer Fields introduced us to Michelle Bain, a master potter from North Carolina, who recently gave a demonstration on face jugs at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Fields produces and curates the series It's a Material World. That project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts. The exhibit Face Jugs, Art and Ritual in 19th Century South Carolina runs at the Milwaukee Art Museum through the beginning of August. You can find a link to more about artist Michelle Bain from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. I'm Mitch Teich. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and I sure hope you can be around tomorrow and listen to us every weekday morning at 10 o'clock for Lake Effect from WUWM-FM and HD1, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee.